Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, lost my place, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road.
This morning, we're privileged to have our conference president with us, Elder Jameson, and your wife. There was some discussion earlier in the week as to what the weather was going to be, but we're glad that you made it here without any slipping and sliding around. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much, Marlon. Thank you to each of you for inviting us to be here with you today. Happy Sabbath and Happy New Year. The very first Sabbath of 2026. My wife, Chandra, and I are delighted to be here. We were here waiting for Sabbath school to end, and we enjoyed all of the beautiful decorations, the quietness, the peace. No better place to be on Sabbath morning than in God's house. Amen. To worship him. And this morning, I want to share a message with you entitled, "Jesus is Passing By." I love going all over this conference, lifting up Jesus as high as he can be possibly lifted, because we want to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. No other purpose today except to open the Word of God to bring encouragement to your heart as we begin this new year. Shall we pray together? Wonderful God in heaven, we've sung this morning, "Great is thy faithfulness." We've sung, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." We've sung, "Do not pass me by." And I just pray that for each one of us here today, as we enter into the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit would come deep inside of our hearts at the beginning of this new year, and that you would speak to us, that you'd bring joy into our lives, that we would worship you in 2026, that we would live for you, and that we would bring glory to your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen. Now I'd like to challenge the children. I'd like to challenge those who are young at heart to count the number of times we say the name Jesus in this message, and that was the very first time right there. And then come and tell me at the end of the message how many times we have said that beautiful name, the name of Jesus, and that was number 2 right there. Opening your Bible now to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and beginning in verse 46. Here's what it says. It says, "When they," Jesus and his disciples, "came to Jericho." This is the only time in the Bible that Jesus entered the city of Jericho. You also need to understand that in this particular setting, at this particular time, in 10 days' time, Jesus was going to go and die on the cross at Calvary. You also need to know that this is the last miracle of healing recorded in the Gospel of Mark, likely the second last miracle of healing that Jesus was going to do before he died on Calvary's cross. And what's most interesting about this story is this. This is the only time in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke and Mark that the person who is being healed is named by name. Did you get that? The only time that the person who is healed is named by name. Why? Because this is a real story. This is a true story. This is not a myth. There are many who are wondering about the validity of the Bible today, whether to believe it or not. But I believe in the Word of God with all of my heart. I believe what this book says. And this book says that the Gospel of Mark was written around 50-ish A.D., around 20-ish years after Jesus performed this miracle of healing, and it names the person, and the person therefore was still following Jesus 20, 30, or more years later. And it also tells me this. When Jesus was passing by 2,000 years ago, he brought about transformation into this man's life. And because it's a true story, Jesus is still passing by today. Right here in Brewster. And I don't know what your journey has been, how long you've been following Jesus, maybe for a few years, maybe for decades. Maybe today you need to experience transformation in your life right at the beginning of 2026. It says, then they, Jesus and his disciples, were in Jericho. Jericho is a very famous city. In Old Testament times, we know that Joshua and the armies of Israel marched around Jericho 7 times, 7 days. And on the 7th day, they marched around 7 times, and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. It's also famous because there was someone living in those walls, a lady that you know of by the name of Rahab. And when she lowered a scarlet cord out her window, she and her family were saved and rescued by the God of the armies of Israel. And I believe as we open the Word of God, we'll find that there's a scarlet cord that travels right through the Bible from the first page to the very end, and that we are all saved through that scarlet cord that represents Jesus Christ. But Jericho was also famous in the New Testament. First of all, Jesus told a parable. And Ellen White says it wasn't just a parable, it was the story of an actual event. We call it the parable of the Good Samaritan because Jesus told the story of a man traveling on the notorious Jericho road, and thieves and robbers came and beat him and stole all that he had and left him to die. But in the New Testament, there's another story that's very famous, and the children know it well, and anyone who went to Sabbath school way back when they were a child, they know it. And it's the story of a wee little man by the name of who? Zacchaeus, who climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. This is the very same time that Jesus is in Jericho. It says that he and his disciples were in Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho, he had just been to Zacchaeus' home. He had just brought total transformation into the life of Zacchaeus to the point that Zacchaeus repented and he said, if I've stolen, I'll pay back fourfold. And now he was leaving Jericho. But there was one more soul that needed to be revived. There was one more person that needed to be transformed. And if you can picture this in your mind, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, which is 18 miles away. And in 10 days' time, he's going to die on the cross for you and me and every sinner who has ever lived or will ever live in this world. He had the weight of the world on his shoulders. And as he's walking out of Jericho and gets to the city gate, maybe 15 steps out of town, it says that he's with his disciples and there's a large crowd around him. And I just happen to believe that wherever Jesus is, there are large crowds of people around him. Because I believe that when you get to know in your heart who Jesus really is, that he can change absolutely everything in your life. And he was about to prove it here again. Because not only was there a large crowd around him that wanted to get to know more and more about him. Maybe there's someone here today. Do you want more and more of Jesus in your life today? Do you want more and more of Jesus in your heart and life in 2026? Do you need to experience the power of God like never before? Do you want more of Jesus? Well, it says, as the disciples and this large crowd were leaving Jericho, there was a blind man there. And you can picture it. He's right at the city gate. And he's sitting there and he's begging for alms, begging for coins. And he's been doing it for who knows how long, because the Bible doesn't tell us how long he has been blind. It doesn't tell us how he became blind, whether it was he was born blind or whether it was because of unsanitary conditions or what have you. We don't know any of that. It simply says that he was blind, which means he may not have seen his mother's face for decades. It means he may not have been able to look at the rivers and lakes and birds and flowers and trees and the sky and the clouds. He may not have seen any of that for years. All he saw was total darkness, blackness. He was blind. And then it says that he was a blind beggar. He likely wasn't begging by choice, but because his blindness brought about circumstances where he was impoverished. Sitting there by the city gate, begging for scraps, begging for enough coins to be able to go and find some food to eat. And then it says this, a blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. The Bible names him. It names him to let us know that this is a true story. It also names him because his name has some interesting meaning. And scholars are divided over his name. They say that there are two possible meanings to the name Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. The first one is son of the unclean one. And isn't that true? Isn't that true for all of us, that every single one of us who have been born into this world, we are sons and daughters of Adam and Eve? Adam sinned, and sin came into this world, and the first Adam is the unclean one. And because of that, we are all unclean, unrighteous. We are all sinners in need of a God to save us from sin. But other scholars say, wait a minute, that's not what the meaning is at all. Other scholars say, no, it means son of the honored one, someone who is highly prized. And according to Scripture, we know that there was a second Adam who came into this world, and his name is, say it with me, Jesus. And because of Jesus, we are sons and daughters of God Almighty, children of the Heavenly King. We are sons and daughters of the Honored One. We are highly prized in Christ. This blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus was sitting by the side of the road, it says, and verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. And I want to share with you this. The word that's used here in verse 47, to cry out, in the original Greek, it's krazo. Krazo. What does krazo sound like to you today in English? He began to cry out as if he were crazy. He began to shout. He began to shriek. He began to cry out to get the attention of Jesus. He went crazy for Jesus. Are you crazy for Jesus today? I am crazy for Jesus. I can't help it when I come into a house of worship on Sabbath morning but to sing. I can't help it but to sing with all I've got because I am crazy about Jesus. He changed my life. At the age of 18 years old, I met and fell in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he changed my life. And here I am, 40 plus years later, still following Jesus, and promised to him on the day that I was baptized that if it ever becomes boring, if Jesus is not alive in me, then I will not be able to do what I'm doing and preach the gospel. I do not want a boring religious life. I want to be a part of a church that impacts the community for the Lord Jesus Christ, and not just the community, but the world for Jesus. That's what drives me. I'm crazy about Jesus. And I encourage you to do the same. It says, when he heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry out, to shout, to shriek in a crazy way. But I want you to notice something. It's very important, especially at the beginning of a new year. I want you to notice what he said when he cried out. The first word that left his lips was Jesus. Did you hear that? Jesus. Jesus. As you begin 2026, may you begin it with Jesus. I have a crazy habit of mine. I've been doing it now, I don't know for how long. Every morning when I wake up, while my head is still on the pillow, before I've gotten out of bed and put a foot on the floor, and I whisper it because maybe my wife is still asleep and I don't want to wake her up, and here's what I say, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, because it is all about Jesus. Every one of the 28 fundamental beliefs in the Seventh-day Adventist Church center in Jesus. If you think that there's a teaching that we have and you haven't found how Jesus is in it, go study it again, because it is all about Jesus. From the moment you were born, through your teens and in your 20s, and as you were an adult, and as you move into your senior life through to your very last breath, it is all about who? Jesus. Acts 4 and verse 12 says, there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved except the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Just like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms, they shall all pass away. But there's something about that name. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's peace in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. when you get to know who Jesus really is deep down in your heart, he can change absolutely everything in your life. The first word that left his lips was Jesus. And I encourage you to give it a try. Tomorrow morning, when you wake up, simply call out the name Jesus and invite him to be with you throughout every second of the day. People make New Year's resolutions. Kind of giving that up. Many people have, because 80% of New Year's resolutions have failed by mid-January. I've discovered something. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 4 to 6, the Shema, it says, talk about him when you wake up, when you sit down, when you lie down, when you go in, when you go out. In other words, you don't have to make New Year's resolutions about anything. About reading your Bible more or spending more time helping people or on and on. You don't have to worry about any of that. Just make Jesus the center of everything you do. No guilt. Just you and Jesus. When you sit down, when you stand up, when you go for a walk, when you go to work, at the end of the day, thank you, Jesus. Pray the Lord's Prayer. It's that simple. It really is all about Jesus. And when he's the center of your life, he can change absolutely everything in your life. It's so simple, isn't it? Do you get what I'm trying to say? It's all about Jesus. Bartimaeus said something else. He had a very deep theology. He was home insecure, sitting by the side of the Jericho gate. Just like a lot of people. I imagine there are some in Brewster. I know in Spokane there are. You go to every traffic light and there's someone holding up a sign. Please help. Please help. I'm in this situation. I'm in that situation. That's what Bartimaeus was doing. But you know something I found out when I was pastoring in the previous district that I was in, a church in the valley. I was there for 20 years. We pastored there. Had a wonderful time ministering to home insecure people. And a number of them started coming to church, and I would go to Sabbath school and I would be amazed by what they would share in Sabbath school. Their theology was so deep. I guess maybe they had a lot of time on their hands. A lot of time to think. And so Bartimaeus said, Jesus. And then the next phrase that he used was, Son of David. The crowds were around there. The disciples were around him. The disciples had been around Jesus for 3.5 years, and some of them hadn't figured out who Jesus really is. They thought he was a great teacher, a prophet, but they hadn't even yet come to the conclusion that he was the Son of David. And here this blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus, sitting by the city gate, he sees Jesus walking out and he says, Jesus, Son of David. He recognized that Jesus was on his way 18 miles away to Jerusalem to die on Calvary's cross, but also to sit on King David's throne. He had a deep theology. But that's not all. He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And in the English, we would read by that and we wouldn't think much about it. Have mercy upon me in Latin means Kyrie eleison. You know the song? But what it meant to people in ancient Judaism was when you cried out, have mercy upon me, who do you think you were crying out to? What's the answer? Jehovah God. Do you understand? But this blind beggar sitting by the side of the road recognized it's all about Jesus. He recognized that Jesus was the Messiah because 17 times in the New Testament, Son of David is used as a reference to Jesus being the Messiah. And lastly, he recognized that Jesus was God in the flesh. That Jesus was the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that he is everything. Bartimaeus recognized him as the Messiah, Jehovah, the Prince of Peace, the Son of Man, the Seed of Abraham, the second person of the Trinity. Bartimaeus understood who Jesus really is, and Jesus was about to transform and change absolutely everything in his life. And it says, many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You know, I have to share that whenever someone is seeking to find and follow Jesus, there will always be someone to try and deter them, delay them, or discourage them. Sometimes even people in the church. And all I can say is don't let anyone take your crown. Don't let any hurt, don't let any argument, don't let anything get in the way between you and your Jesus, no matter what. Amen. You stay with Jesus. Stay in his church. His church is going to set sail right through to the heavenly harbor. And if you're watching anything that's happening in the news, if you follow Bible prophecy at all, you are seeing things happen right before your very eyes. If you're biblically literate, you're able to see it, aren't you? But this church is going to go through. Stay with the church. Stay with Jesus. Don't let anyone hurt you, insult you, harm you, offend you, and cause you to lose your crown. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet. But verse 49 are my favorite words. Bartimaeus is crying out. Jesus has the weight of the world on his shoulders, knowing he's going to die in 10 days' time. And it says, and Jesus stopped. That's the kind of Jesus I serve. That's the kind of Jesus I preach about. Jesus stopped. He was passing by. And when this man cried out, Jesus stopped. Ellen White tells us, never has any man cried out for help, and it went unheard in the ears of God. He always hears, and he always answers. Jesus cares for you. Amen. Never forget it. And Jesus stopped and said, call him here. So they called the blind man, saying to him, and here's some happy 2026 words for you. You want to go through 2026 happy? It says, take courage. Stand up, for Jesus is calling you. Wow. No matter what happens in 2026, take courage. Who cares what's happening around us in the political realm, in the world today? Who cares? Take courage. Stand up. Stand up for who? Jesus. For Jesus is calling you. The book of Isaiah chapter 43, I believe it's verse 1, says, before you call, I will answer. And it says, Jesus has redeemed you, and he calls you by what? Name. I absolutely love the next part. Verse 50, take note. Throwing aside his cloak. Why does Mark include that detail? Why is it so important for us to know that Jesus says, take courage, stand up, for I'm calling you, and he throws off this robe? Why is that important? we need to have that detail?
We wouldn't be able to find it again.
Well, maybe so. In ancient Judaism, a robe was a very valuable possession. It was a long robe, right down to the ankles with tassels on it, and all of the colors identified the tribe that the person was in. In Bartimaeus' case, because he was a blind man, he would sit by the side of the road, and it was his means of occupation, because if people just threw coins at him and they landed in the dust, he wouldn't be able to find them. He'd have to be scrambling all over. So he held out his robe up against his knees, and people threw the coins into the robe. So it was a very valuable robe. Well, some people say, well, this detail is there because they're just saying he threw off his robe because his robe was so long he didn't want to trip in it when he came to Jesus. I think there's more to it than that. I think that Bartimaeus knew who Jesus really is, and that Jesus can change absolutely everything in your life. I think that Bartimaeus believed. He hadn't seen Jesus heal anyone. He'd heard maybe about Jesus feeding the 5,000, not counting women and children. He heard about maybe the widow of Nain's son being raised and the woman with the issue of blood being healed. He maybe even heard what had happened in Zacchaeus' home maybe that weekend. He believed. He wasn't going to need the robe anymore for an occupation, because he believed with all of his heart that Jesus had the power as the Messiah and as God himself to heal him. You see, there are a lot of people inside and outside the church who they live in the realm of seeing is believing. I won't believe it unless I see it. Bartimaeus wasn't living in that realm. He was living in the realm of believing is seeing, because he couldn't see anything. But he believed with all of his heart in Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. And he said, I'm not going to need this robe anymore. I don't have to beg anymore because Jesus is going to heal me. But maybe there's a deeper reason. In Isaiah 64 and verse 6, it says that all of our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. And if this man was home insecure, homeless, sitting by the side of the road as a blind beggar, he probably hadn't had a bath for who knows how long. He probably smelled, and the robe was filthy. But he knew he didn't need it anymore, because Jesus was going to give him a brand new, clean, white robe of righteousness. I think he also understood, and I pray that you understand, that even when we come here on Sabbath morning, yes, we're keeping the fourth commandment, but we come here on Sabbath morning because of who?
Jesus.
Because of his righteousness. When we return a tithe, we're returning unto him what is his. It's his already. We're returning it because we're in a love relationship with Jesus. When we live out all the 28 fundamental beliefs, we're not living them out to be saved. We are only saved by the righteousness of Jesus. Nothing else. All of the rest happens to be blessings and benefits and the love of God being poured out upon us that we might have the best lives possible. But we are only saved by Jesus and his shed blood on Calvary.
Amen.
That brings righteousness to all who believe. So he threw aside his robe. He jumped up and he came to Jesus. And I love telling people all over this conference, it doesn't matter where you come to Jesus. It doesn't matter how you come to Jesus. It doesn't even really matter when you come to Jesus, but hopefully you choose sooner than later. Because the only thing that matters in this lifetime, no matter what your dreams and aspirations are for the future, in 2026 or 20 years later, the only thing that matters in your life and mine is that ultimately, at some point in our lives, hopefully sooner than later, we come to Jesus Christ, call upon his name, and ask him to be our Lord and Savior. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. On that day when God comes through the clouds, have you asked Jesus to be your Lord, to be your Savior, your Lord, your friend, and your coming King? That's it. You'll pass the exam with 100% marks if you have Jesus. Can you say amen to that this morning? It's the wonderful good news of the gospel. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, I could say, "Duh." This is a blind man sitting there by the side of the road, and Jesus is saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked a lot of questions in the Bible. Very profound questions. And if Jesus was passing by right now, in this sanctuary today, and he said to you, "What do you want me to do for you?" What would you say? Now be careful. You may want to take a moment to think about it. Because it's not the only time you ask the question. If you have your Bible with you, go back to verse 36. Same chapter. Second time the question's asked. Two disciples come to him with their mom. And they say, "Jesus, can we sit at your right hand and your left hand?" They want a position, power. When the boys and their mom came, Jesus said in verse 36, you can read it. And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" "We want to sit on your right and your left." They'd missed it entirely. And Jesus did not commend them, but he commends Bartimaeus, because Bartimaeus came with a totally different perspective, totally different attitude. Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." But more than that, in the last verse, it indicates he wanted to regain his sight so that he could follow Jesus. Just to be able to follow your Jesus. Positions, titles, they don't matter. Striving for more, it doesn't matter. What matters is just to be with Jesus. "Oh, Rabbi, that I might receive my sight." In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, the Laodicean church, verse 14. He says, "I would rather that you be hot or cold." Wouldn't you want to be in a hot church that is on fire for Jesus every Sabbath, crazy about Jesus? That's the kind of church I want to be in. You see, back in Laodicea, there was a hot spring. Sometimes they bathed in it. Oh, it's nice to go to hot tubs and hot springs. But some of the water that came out of the hills down the canals was also from a spring. And it was lukewarm. And they didn't like to drink it. And Jesus used it as an illustration. "I'd rather you be hot or cold. not lukewarm. And then he went on to say in Revelation chapter 3, he said, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, which represents faith in Jesus. And then he said, I counsel you to buy of me white raiment, the righteousness of Christ. The heavenly merchantman wants people to be hot or cold, one or the other, not lukewarm, to have faith that is strong in the last days, even if there's persecution, to have white raiment. You see, in Laodicea, they were famous for having been able to make black garments out of black silk, and they became wealthy. And Jesus said, don't depend upon your wealth, on the black garments you make. You need a white one, which represents the robe of Christ's righteousness. And then, because he said, you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Notice it says blind. He said, I counsel you to buy of me eye salve, which represents the Holy Spirit, that you might truly see. And what that tells me is that this story about Bartimaeus 2,000 years ago is not just the story of one blind man. It's the story of all the Laodicean blind men and women today as well. If there's one thing that we need to ask Jesus for in 2026, he says, what can I do for you? We need to say like Bartimaeus, Lord, that we might regain our sight, regain our first love, experience, and be alive and happy and vibrant and confident, not in ourselves, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to come again with certainty through the clouds. And maybe some of us will be there. We hope we all may be, and we'll say, lo, this is our God. We've waited for him. And now he has come to save us. And the last verse. And Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. And I love it. It says, immediately. This is the kind of Jesus that we serve. And I wouldn't preach this way if I haven't experienced things in my own life and journey. And maybe you have and maybe you haven't. I don't know. But I encourage you to experience Jesus, because it says, and immediately it says this. He regained his sight. And he began following Jesus on the road. Immediately, all 240 million rods and cones in his eyes began to burst with sensation as the chemicals that were released by the simple power of being in the presence of Jesus sent billions of messages to the synapses of his brain. And he could see. And the first thing that he saw was who?
Jesus.
And so when you wake up in the morning, please, the first thing that you see and the first thing that you say, let it be the name of Jesus. And if you truly believe that when you get to know who Jesus really is, that he can change absolutely everything in your life, go back this Sabbath as you have family worship and reflect back on all the good things that he's done in your life, the times that you've experienced him, and then tell him, Jesus, I want to experience more and more of you, because I can tell you and I can promise you that if you do, and if you begin to pray, that there are people in Brewster to come and join you in this place. He has them ready, but he's looking for a church that has asked God to help them to see again, to see with the vision that God has to reach out to lost men and women and boys and girls for the kingdom. He wants you to say, help me to truly see, help me to keep my eyes on Jesus no matter what. Fill this church up in the name of who? Jesus. You see, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost. And by the way, so were you. But now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Amen.
May God bless you in 2026. Happy 2026 in Jesus, period, exclamation mark. It's all about Jesus. Shall we stand and sing hymn number 108? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And if anyone has been counting the number of times we've said the name Jesus, please come and tell me at the end.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now
we bow our heads for the benediction. Almighty God in heaven above, we thank you that we could worship together here today on your holy Sabbath day, the first Sabbath of 2026. And I just pray that there would be at least one person here today who, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will begin to say, it's so simple. It's all about Jesus. And no matter what they're doing every single day, that they just talk about Jesus, sing about Jesus, think about Jesus, and then close their eyes at the end of the day and thank Jesus for being with them. May you go with every single person, every family represented in the 2026. And may they say, happy in Christ. And Father, may your Holy Spirit begin to move in this congregation. May you begin to work mightily. Because people choose to believe that you're going to in their own hearts, in the hearts of their family members, their church family, and this community and beyond. May you help people to take courage, to stand up, to come to Jesus, to be able to see the vision that Jesus has for each one, each family, and this church in this community and beyond. All these things we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Please join us downstairs for the potluck.